Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Mark. Brendan behind the glass. It is a Monday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. A big weekend in the Bronx for the Houston Astros. We'll definitely get into that in great detail a little bit later. But first, Texans appear to be in some hot water. Tony Busby has officially filed a lawsuit against the Houston Texans, and some pretty damning things mentioned about the local NFL organization.
Yes, sir, indeed. And kind of the things that we had discussed previously about employees and not just the membership to the Houstonian. I had mentioned to you that people that I had internally there had tipped me off that there were some long time, like 20 plus year type people that were let go from the organization. And it turns out that in part, it might have been because they were taking the massage tables from NRG over to the Houstonian once one Jack Easterby and others helped facilitate a membership for Deshaun Watson at the Houstonian.
Yeah, I saw that Easterby was mentioned there. Like, I don't know how much of the, like, the setting up of the Houstonian comes into play here. I don't know, like, how severe this is all going to be. My biggest takeaway, and Mike Meltzer, who joined Vanessa and Gallant with featuring Josh Beard a little bit earlier, he was on with them. We're going to try to get some of that sound turned around here pretty quick. But looking at Mike Meltzer's thread on this, because Mike did a really good job, you can follow him on Twitter at Mike Meltzer, of breaking it down into layman's terms, which I really appreciate because I am the ultimate layman. Like, you start to get a bunch of legal...
Tom?
What's Tom Lehman?
Tom Lehman?
I wish. Okay. I would love to have that golf game.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
But Meltzer broke it down in, like, the legal mind, but then could lay it out in layman's terms for, you know, your boy to really understand it. And the biggest things to me, which this to me is huge, like this is absolutely massive, if true, how damaging this can be for the Houston Texans organization. Lawsuit claims that a lady named Megan Weishut, who actually worked as a massage therapist and was at best case, I don't know exactly her role with the Texans, but she accompanied the team when they traveled to London. So like this was somebody that they would go to who at least once freelance for the Houston Texans and probably more than that. But the lawsuit claims that when she learned about Ashley Solis's complaint about Watson, that she wrote via text, "You don't have to tell me, but out of curiosity, was it Deshaun Watson?" Wow, that's interesting that somebody who was employed at least once, probably more, as a massage therapist and accompanied the Texans when they traveled to London is asking when she learns about Ashley Solis's complaint, was it Deshaun Watson? Also, that text per the lawsuit was sent in March 2020. Think about that for a second. March 2020 is whenever she intended to reach out to the Texans to advise them of the situation. Per the lawsuit, this means the Texans were on notice of Watson misconduct as early as March 2020. Do you know when the Houston Texans re-signed Deshaun Watson and gave him a no-trade clause? September of 2020, a few months later. So the Houston Texans, if this is true, what Tony Busby is alleging, they knew of this about Deshaun Watson and were on notice March 2020 and locked him up September 2020.
But, okay, because March, April, May, okay, yeah, okay. So I was trying to do the math there with the months. That's just, to me, this is going to get ugly. And then the other question then becomes, from the standpoint of when the league gets involved, this is such a bad look image-wise across the board, for, and it's not going away. It's getting worse, obviously, and the attention brought by it every single day is nothing but damaging and negative. Jack Easterby is front and center in at least one part of this as it relates to getting Deshaun hooked up at the Houstonian. You wonder if there isn't going to be ramifications for a guy that otherwise seems to be the one guy that every Texan fan would love to get rid of, but knows there was no chance of him ever going anywhere. This may be the one way that something could happen to him, too.
See, I get that. And, like, I understand that, and I know that his name is a – it's some whenever you see his name, it's all like, whoa, right? Because it's Jack Easterby, and what Jack Easterby is synonymous with in this organization, it's something that causes attention. But to me, this is bigger than Jack Easterby.
Oh, it is, by
far. This is the organization, some, we don't know who, and it's alleged. Let's make sure we're saying that. It's alleged from Tony Busby. We can't just take this as the absolute truth. We're just telling you what is in the lawsuit filed against the Houston Texans. But this is bigger than Jack Easterby. Like, this is Jack Easterby being, like, a heavy for the Houston Texans. Like, this is Jack Easterby being part of the mob and the mafia of what the Houston Texans are doing. This is organizational. This is bigger than Jack Easterby. This is the Houston Texans having information, according to Tony Busby. And again, it is alleged about in March 2020, that they were on notice about Deshaun Watson's behavior, his behavior of sexual misconduct, from a lady who was a massage therapist that at least once worked for the Houston Texans and traveled to London when the Houston Texans played their London game. And as soon as she heard about Solis filing a claim against the Houston Texans, you don't have to tell me, but out of curiosity, was it Deshaun Watson? Why is she asking that question? Because she has some intel about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Jeremy. It's a dirty little secret throughout sports that teams do this all the time. Some are willing to cross the line a lot further than others. But with personal experiences and otherwise, talking to people that I know within sports, it used to be the norm, and it used to be like no big deal, like just another day that ends in Y. And now you're seeing more and more because of the blatant gross missteps and completely just the way that it has been taken advantage of and people have been taken advantage of because of it, it's coming out more and more. You look at what's still going on with Dan Snyder in Washington. And the fact that that is just a decade or more of just grotesque behavior by an organization. And you start looking over and it goes, it's one thing if you're helping players get driver's license and trying to help them, you know, make their lives easier when they're not playing. It's another thing when you're doing these things that are actually involved in crime, breaking the law, and just really shady behavior.
See, and the thought here, too, is, like, and again, I think that the Houston Texans are going to try to settle this as quickly as they can because they don't want all of this information to continue to spread like a wildfire, a fire like we saw with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, oh, no, I'm going to fight this. And, look, it takes two to tango with the settlements, and I think settlements are a lot harder than some people just – it's not a layup. It's not just something you can roll out of bed and do. It's a pretty complicated thing. But the Houston Texans have far more resources than a Deshaun Watson. The Houston Texans would gladly spend $10 million if they could have prevented this from ever coming out. So Tony Busby, like, you could call him a snake. I wouldn't argue with you. You could call him a sleazeball. You could call him a weasel. You could do all of those things. But he's also an attorney that's representing his clients and trying to make as much money as he possibly can for them. And by what has been alleged and all the stuff that is in the lawsuit, Tony Busby, look, even if you say he sensationalized it, it has put the Houston Texans on notice, just like they were on notice about Deshaun Watson in March 2020, 6 months before they re-signed him to a no-trade contract.
These are golden nuggets, Jeremy. And sometimes you don't have to even have it be completely validated truth to know that you got a nugget. Mm-hmm. And if you put that nugget out there privately to the people that you're in battle with and about to go to court with, you realize that the damage it will do will be far greater than how much time it takes to try and prove that it wasn't true in the first place. And the fact that Tony Busby was sitting on some nuggets and he knew that, hey, you don't want this coming out. And you, more so than even Deshaun with the whole baby yoga poses and the things that already came out about him that was damaging. As an organization, this is the last thing you could afford to have happen and want to have happen and want out there. And therefore, you should be willing to go even further than Deshaun was willing to go to try and stay away from it, bury it, and get away from it.
I think that they will.
Yep.
But even then, like, because, look, we always talk about settlements, not an admission of guilt. There's going to be a certain amount of the population that whenever you settle it, they're going to think that anyways. Like, is it legally an admission of guilt? No, it's not. But as soon as you settle, a lot of people are going to think that. So, like, the court of public perception, right? Yep. The court of public opinion. I think the Texans are going to take a lot of stain here for this, regardless of how it turns out. The fact that you have these claims that the Texans knew of this in March 2020, yet re-signed Deshaun Watson 6 months later in September of 2020, the part that you brought up where you have the Texans arranging rooms for the Houstonian, like, they might not have known the complete extent of what was going on or the complete intent of what was going on for Deshaun Watson as well. but they're helping him out, according to Tony Busby and alleged by Tony Busby. One of the other things that Busby claims, the Texans removed a social media post about Nia Smith. Yep. Remember, Nia Smith was the one who had the private Instagram story that said she was going to expose Deshaun Watson. And then that's the one that led to the NDA being placed in Deshaun Watson's locker by the head of security for the Houston Texans, who, oh, by the way, is still on the staff in that very exact role. But Busby claims that the Texans removed a social media post by Nia Smith in November of 2020. So this was 7 months after the Texans were on notice. This was a month after they re-signed Deshaun Watson to a no-trade clause that threatened to expose Watson for his misconduct during massage therapy sessions with Smith. Tell me this. If the Houston Texans are completely unaware and oblivious to the claims against Deshaun Watson from Ashley Solis or Megan Wise-Haight, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that name, but they were on notice as soon as March 2020, why are they removing a post on their social media on November of 2020? You're not going to remove a post if you're oblivious to it, if you have no idea. You're only going to remove a post if you have allegations and threats, or you have an idea of what was going on.
Jeremy, this is the way it goes internally in these organizations too, and I know from experience, but if you don't, you're going to lose your job. If you're in charge of social media, the minute that you see that and you think you're doing heroic work for the organization, you're deleting it, you damn well also better tell your manager. If it's not your manager that you report to and there's somebody else up the food chain, you better let them know too. And then they better let team security know, and there better be an investigation, and they better start working on these things. Because a lot of times you want to say that's just some crazy fan trying to stir up some stuff to get some attention. But the one time that you turn the other cheek and say that's nothing, that's when it becomes something, and that's when it becomes a very big deal.
And there's also a little bit of like a conscience there too, right? Like if the Houston Texans, whoever deleted this, and I'm sure that stuff went on, right? Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. We have no idea. But if no one had any idea about Deshaun Watson or within the Texans or the fact that you didn't think Deshaun Watson was doing anything wrong, you wouldn't have taken that down because it would not have mattered. You're not trying to cover anything up. But the fact that you have a deleted post on somewhere on the Houston Texans social media, I don't know if it was Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, I don't know, LinkedIn, Pinterest, I have no idea. But at that point, you're covering up for Deshaun Watson and rumors that you know are out there.
Teams do it all the time, too, by the way. Teams do it all the time. When they put out their posts on their social media sites, the negative posts, someone is in charge of deleting them.
Huh.
In a lot of cases, because they don't want that smoke on their site. You can do that in chat rooms. You can do that on fan sites. But they don't want it on theirs. And I've seen it time and time again, especially when something comes up in the media that points a finger at the organization. The minute that those kind of things start being posted on their sites or on posts that they've put out there, they start deleting those. Because that's not what the dialogue is supposed to be like on their sites.
A big weekend for the Houston Astros. Trust us. We're going to get to that in great detail. Majority of our show is going to be about the Astros this weekend and the New York Yankees. But this is big. This is big because of the stain it puts on the Houston Texans organization. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in on the conversation. 713-780-3776 on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. When we come back, one other allegation that I thought was very eye-popping whenever I saw it. We'll get to that when we return. Also, Mike Meltzer, who you can hear on these airways pretty often, fills in. He's a lawyer as well. He was on with Vanessa and Gallant featuring Josh Beard a little bit earlier, and we're going to get to some of what he had to say as well. How bad do the Houston Texans look today as Tony Busby has added them to his lawsuit? Skiller Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We got some dessert gallery cakes over here.
Yes, we did.
Which is outstanding. Thanks to our loyal listener. We don't know his name. He didn't leave
us a
card.
Yeah, text us your name. I was there on the weekend for my birthday, my actual birthday cake, because I thought you were going to basically stiff us because you kept telling us it was coming in. And I was like, no, we got a loyal listener in here. And they all looked at me like I was crazy. And then they said, no, it's probably one of our guys during the week. But thank you very much. The dessert gallery came today with the birthday cake. So we appreciate it.
He said, man of my word, I left y'all some belated and early birthday cake. So we appreciate that. Planning and diving into that a little bit. We're talking about the Tony Busby suit against the Houston Texans has added them to his case, some of the things that have been alleged, and it's important to put the if true, because the Texans are going to have a chance to rebuttal. They're going to have a chance to put out their statement. They're going to have a chance maybe to settle. But the if true, obviously, is something that you have to mention whenever you talk about a court case, because there's two sides to the argument. But the things that Busby are alleging, if true, completely damaging to the Houston Texans, that they would have been on notice about Watson's misconduct as early as March 2020 and then re-signed him in September of 2020. Then you're deleting social media posts by Nia Smith, who threatened to expose Deshaun Watson because of his sexual misconduct. You're doing that a month after you signed him. And then also Meltzer, he broke it down for us. He says there's an allegations in this lawsuit that at least two genuine touch therapists, these are the massage therapists, had sexual relations with multiple Texans players, and that the Texans knew of this activity, and at least one genuine touch therapist was fired due to sexual activity with Texans players.
I'm genuinely touched by that information. I think that is deep. That is meaningful.
That means a lot.
That
too.
Is something. Yeah, deep could be something too. Yeah, that's. I'm telling you what. This is the worst nightmare for the Texans. They're just starting to escape from. As I continued to refer to it, Jack Easterby was just the shade left behind after the black cloud of this entire Deshaun Watson situation. You thought after you traded him, you were in the clear. Now, because of the lawsuit and the fact that even though he settled 20 of them, that the four that are still there are now going to involve you as well, you can't get away from it. You can't run from it, and you obviously can't hide from it. The only thing you could try and do is buy your way out of it now. And if you thought you were going to escape scot-free, good luck to you, because this one's going to cost you.
And, you know, if they don't pay the money, that Busby's going to make it ugly as possibly can be, because that's his job. Poncho saying, hashtag Texans enablers. So Mike Meltzer joined Vanessa and Gallant featuring Josh Beard a little bit earlier today. Meltzer, lawyer in Houston, graduated from U of H, go Cougs. Obviously a radio name we've heard in this city for a very long time, fills in for us at times as well. Meltzer talking about what did the Texans know and when, according to what the lawsuit alleges.
I kind of think about it in terms of like Watergate. What did they know, and when did they know it? And in that spirit, Vanessa, there are a couple of specific dates in which Tony Busby is arguing that the Texans should have been on notice that Deshaun Watson was doing bad things to massage therapists, and they should have done something about it.
Texans Gate or Watson Gate? Which one's better? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. But that's the point, is when did the Texans know about this, which is something that's going to be, you know, something that's argued for a while now. Here's another one from Mike Meltzer talking about the massage therapist we were referring to, Weisheit, we believe that it is, said that she intended to reach out to the Texans about the complaints from Solis.
Because what Tony Busby put in this lawsuit is that when Megan Weishe found out from Ashley Solis's coworker, This is March of 2020, so not March 2021, March of 2020, a year before the first lawsuit, that when the coworker of Ashley Solis finds out that Ashley Solis feels like she's been mistreated by Deshaun, reaches out to Megan, and then Megan Weishe writes via text, and this text message is in the lawsuit, quote, "You don't have to tell me, but out of curiosity, was it Deshaun Watson?" Mm. And so this is a text that she sent to the coworker of Ashley Solis. And then what I find super interesting, and I'm just going to quote this from the lawsuit. In response to Ashley Solis's complaints about Deshaun Watson, Weishe stated that she intended to reach out to the Texans to advise them of the situation.
And if she advised them of the situation, which this lawsuit says, that was sent March 2020. And the Texans, 6 months later, locked up Deshaun Watson to a four-year deal with a no-trade clause.
So let's be clear. In terms of curiosity from Texans fans, and I've seen these questions come in, including now, and they've come in since all of this was being announced, can the Browns look to get the trade nullified? No, they cannot. That trade is done. So don't worry about that. What's done is done. You have all their picks. From that position, you're sitting in a good spot, because it looks like now more than ever, he's going to be suspended for at least a year. And it may be longer than that. And depending on how long it takes for this meeting tomorrow and the discussions after that point to try and sort this whole thing out. It looks like they're going to be struggling for a quarterback for at least a year or so. But from the standpoint of the Texans and the punishment, you have to ask yourself the question, is it more than just financials? Is it your way of trying to buy their silence or settle? But again, because the same way that you can say that the conduct, player conduct comes into play, do we think that the league will then get involved from a Roger Goodell versus the team standpoint and say, hey, the same way we punish a player and suspend him when conduct is detrimental to the league, we will take action against you too. Like, they did cover up a lot with the Washington football team, and that still remains to be seen if and when, aside from the fact they fined them 10 mil. I don't think they'll go to the level of draft picks, but there's two ways you hit a team. You hit a team in the pocketbook, and you hit them on the personnel side. So it'd be interesting to see how the league handles this.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to see the way that it plays out here. But, I mean, I don't think we're looking at, like, loss of draft picks or anything like that. It's probably going to be a heavy fine.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, a suspension.
Well, there are people
cares?
Specifically asking about draft picks. I wouldn't say that it's out of the question, but I don't think it's going to be like in baseball with the situation when the Astros had their email broken into by the Cardinals guy, and there were draft picks involved. Baseball's a lot kind of quicker to be able to suspend draft picks. The Astros punishment. They lost their first and second round picks for 2 years.
Right.
I don't think the NFL is in the same boat. They don't do that. They do it first and foremost with the biggest painful move, which is financial. If you believe what Goodell said, he hit the Washington football team with a $10 million. We didn't hear a whole lot about that. That's a massive amount of money.
The only time you see loss of draft picks really in the NFL is when you break like a league rule on the field, like, you know, the ball being deflated, Deflategate, tampering, having like, you know, practices when you shouldn't happen. 0565, this is not how you run an organization. I'm going to continue to have problems like this with this poor leadership. See, this is where I completely agree, and I think that this is something that adds to the frustration of Houston Texans fans, and that it should. Like, if the Texans did know about this, like Tony Busby is alleging, and then they did a lot of things to either A, cover it up, and then B, lock him up to a contract extension 6 months later, I think now you're looking at a spot where you do have frustrations with your organization. Like, how do you go ask the Hive, 713-780-ESPN. If you are a Texan fan, if you were a Texan fan, the fact that the Texans could have been been an organization that knew about it, didn't care about it, ignored it, and then locked up said culprit, right? Said alleged party. How does that make you feel? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. But, like, if you go back to that timeline, 2020, 2021, like, those were dark days for the Houston Texans. You were winning four games. Then later, at the end of the 2020 season and in 2021, months after you signed Deshaun Watson to a contract extension, he's demanding a trade, sending subtle tweets, and then we find out later about the sexual misconduct. Like, we always talk about the approval rating of the Texans during that time and how it was like a zero. It was the worst it's ever been in franchise history. And today, late June 2022, I think we've seen a little bit of steps forward.
Uptick.
Yep. It's still low. It's still low as you look at Houston Texan history, but it's better than where it was. And, like, this is a reminder of why the approval rating was at a zero. And, like, this goes a step further. Like, this goes a step beyond football. Now you're just talking about, like, human decency.
Yeah, no, seriously. And the thing is, like I said, just when you think it was safe to go back in the water, like, you know what, we're not going to be the most embarrassing, you know, just completely joke of a franchise that the NFL has going, aside from Washington maybe, and you feel like, hey, we had a good draft, we got a general manager who knows what he's doing, now we don't have a Coachgate joke going on with all the different people we interviewed for the coaching position, we got a veteran coach. Things are going in the right direction. The fans are starting to come back on board and look positively at the Texans. This could be a really good thing. Even the media starts coming around. Now this happens, and you start asking yourself, how do we make it go away as quickly as possible? We have to, because otherwise there's going to be more long-term ramifications of this franchise that just can't do wrong right.
Well, there's a lot of texts rolling in, a lot of questions to us. We'll keep the conversation going. 713-780-ESPN if you want to weigh in. 713-780-3776. Houston Texans have been added into the lawsuit by Tony Busby, and if true, damaging things about the Houston Texans. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. And the crowd goes wild. Real fun sports. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Tony Busby has filed suit against the Houston Texans, have added them to the cases. Busby talking about a massage therapist's Y-sheet. The lawsuit claims routinely provided massage services to multiple Texans, accompanied the team when the Texans traveled to London. Y-sheet, when she learned about Solis's complaints about Watson, Y-sheet texted, "You don't have to tell me, but out of curiosity, was it Deshaun Watson?" That text for the lawsuit sent March 2020. Y-sheet stated that she intended to reach out to the Texans to advise them of the situation. Per the lawsuit, this means the Texans were on notice of Watson's misconduct as early as March 2020. Josh and Beaumont, who I think is making a case from the Texans' point of view, which is fine. Look, it's a lawsuit. There's two sides to the story, and we're very clear of that. And it's a big if, and it is what is alleged. Josh and Beaumont saying that just saying that she intended to reach out doesn't mean that she reached out, which I think is a good point. Also on the text line, 713-780-3776, 9547. It's possible that the Texans thought he was getting actual massages or even having consensual sex, and there's nothing wrong with those two things. They may not have realized the extent of what he was up to. Look, I don't disagree with that. I don't believe that the Texans could have known the full extent of what he was up to. And you're right. Like Rusty Harden's case for Deshaun Watson was that he was getting real massages and that all the sexual misconduct was not misconduct and that it was consensual. That's Harden's claim all along.
But here's the thing, Jeremy. Let's remember that what went down with Tom Brady and the Patriots and Bill Belichick when Brady got his own guy. Because his own guy was giving Brady treatments and otherwise that was completely against what the team personnel that is in charge of those kind of things either wanted him to do or knew about, and there was a problem. It's the same way with the massages that I keep going back to this point. When you work for a team, you realize in the NFL, that most teams carry between 15 and 20 full-time massage therapists that are at the beck and call of all of their players at all times so that, one, the team can keep in close contact with the medical people so they know if there's a lingering issue and the players keep getting massages, but also to make sure that they're using the massage therapist to get the treatment they need so that the team can keep all the information as close to the vest as possible and also to know about it if there's something they got to address. They don't want them going outside. They don't want them getting their own massage therapist. They don't want them doing their things to do other things to the players that they are under contract with when that's part of what they're supposed to do. So that's why it's also an issue, because the fact that we know people that used to be the bellmen at the Houstonian, we know the people around the hotel enough to know that they had a pretty good idea what was going on and who was doing it too. It wasn't like it was this big under wraps secret. And so from a team perspective, you have to ask the question, like, if you knew he was getting massages, wouldn't that be a red flag with your medical department and your football operations?
I mean, if he's having consensual sex.
That's different. I'm talking about if they were saying, oh, there was massages involved.
Well, I mean, a lot of times they were not even licensed. So, like, would it surprise you if the Texans knew that Deshaun was getting all these unlicensed massages from unlicensed masseuses and then having consensual sex with these massage therapists at the Houstonian? Like, that to me is not alarming. Like, it's alarming.
From a team perspective, it could be alarming.
Right. But, I mean, these are pro athletes. You know what I mean? Like, pro athletes are doing that a lot of the time.
But then here's the thing. Then do it in the privacy of your own home or not in a public environment. There's too many eyeballs and too many people when you're going through a prestigious hotel like the Houstonian and you're parading through. Look, there's a reason why when guys use hotels, they use the assumed names and they use the service elevator and they try and do all the things that they try and do to do what they're going to do anyway, like you're saying. But they're doing it in public.
Right.
So there's from an organizational standpoint, whether it's just pure stupidity or it's just the fact that from a naive standpoint, you were just like, oh, it's none of our business. It really is indirectly. And that's why you should have taken more interest in what the hell was going on.
Sure. And I think that they had an idea, right? If what Tony Busby is alleging, they had an idea March 2020 and then locked him up on September 2020 to a 4-year contract with a no trade clause. Now, Like, I don't think that the Texans can be found, like, of any criminal wrongdoing here. Like, Deshaun Watson was no-billed in Harris County. He was no-billed in Brazoria County. The courts and the grand jury did not indict him because they didn't feel like there was any criminal charges that they could prove. That doesn't mean an admission of innocence. It just shows that they can't prove anything. I think the same thing here with the Houston Texans. I think it would be hard to it would be very difficult to prove any sort of criminal misdoing and also how much the Texans knew. I think that would be very hard to prove unless they can uncover a lot of stuff that I think would be very difficult to cover up. But where I look at this from like a civil case, and that's why Tony Busby's added the Houston Texans to these lawsuits, is that the Houston Texans, a big-time organization, one of 32 NFL teams, we're talking about this today and how damaging it is for the Houston Texans, because it is, if true. Houston Texans aren't going to want that to go on. They're not going to want to happen what happened with Deshaun Watson to happen to them, and I believe they're going to try to pay this off as soon as they can.
They are going to try and sweep it under the rug as fast as they possibly can because of the fact that this is a look nobody wants. And especially since we've seen what I referenced earlier in the show today, the Washington football team, the Washington Commanders looks like a complete and utter embarrassment. And the stuff that they were doing and continue to do, and now that it's gotten to Congress, and you've got the commissioner testifying that he's never seen something as bad as what that front office has looked like previous to the $10 million fine. And on top of that, you've got another team in the league that's looking at trying to, however you want to use the legal terms, mm-hmm. of abating whatever it is, one of your players to do things that, whether you knew about all of them or not, you were kind of helping facilitate. That's not a good look, and that's not something that you want. The league doesn't want it either, and they're probably on the phone telling them, hey, if you don't already know, do whatever you have to do to make this go away.
2284, I couldn't care less about the Texans' involvement in this. Football is big business, and all big business is crooked. I refuse to allow the mistakes the dummies in those offices make shift my focus from the amazing things the players have going on the field.
I think that's another big point. I think that it's unfair, and I think it's unfair from the player's perspective, from Nick Caserio's perspective. You said
I feel bad about Nick Caserio. Yeah. I feel bad for Nick.
Nick has done a really good job as we continued to say, hey, we're waiting for a time that Nick does some things so that we can pass judgment on what Nick's done so far. And after the Watson trade and getting more than a lot of people thought you were going to get, and then turning the draft into a success with the young, talented players that you were able to get, it's a shame that no matter what you do now, no one's talking about the draft and the personnel and things you've done. They're talking about what your organization has done and how it is related to the quarterback you got rid of and how that continues to be a huge negative story across all the NFL.
Yeah, and also the fact that, like I do feel bad for the Caserio aspect, and it's also one thing because, like, there's still people around. Like, you still have people that were around back in 2020, 2021. Like, you could say Cal McNair had no idea of what was going on, and I would believe that because I think Cal McNair's a buffoon.
I don't know what Cal has an idea what's
exactly.
going on.
Exactly. Like, I think he's oblivious to pretty much everything in life. But you still have the Easterby factor, who was mentioned here as well. One of the other things that, like, we always look back at is, like, the Jamie Roots just randomly leaving the organization. And he obviously does not like Jack Easterby, but he left July 9th. Like, if you want to throw that into the 2021, if you want to throw that into the timetable of when you had Deshaun and the Texans perhaps knowing of Deshaun Watson's misconduct in March 2020, locking him to a contract extension in September of 2020, then he starts demanding his trade in January 2021, and then we find out about the sexual misconduct publicly in the spring of 2021.
Knowing enough of Jamie's situation from the people that were in and around it, I think Jamie's was directly related to the fact that he was a Mr. McNair guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
Robert.
Robert, right. Bob McNair. And then on top of that, he and Bill O'Brien had publicly within the offices in front of a lot of people butted heads. So he thought when Bill went, this was his chance to reestablish his power over the business side. And then Jack started to get power and meddle and let people go on the business side. And that's when Jamie said, enough is enough. Yeah. I can't do this anymore.
He didn't like Jack, but was this one of the variables of Maybe. Why he didn't like Jack? 0913, every staff in the NFL would have tried to hide it. Everybody in the NFL each year are on the chopping block, and the owners are about the bottom dollar. This isn't shocking, just disgusting. That's probably realistic, if I'm being completely honest with you, that perhaps it is not shocking of a big business trying to cover up the actions of one of their stars and who hoped to be somebody that was an MVP in a Texans uniform and lead them to a Super Bowl, because those conversations were going on. So, yeah, I think that it's not shocking, but it is disgusting. It is not something that you would cheer for your hometown team.
it's not breaking news, but I got news for all the fans out there that think that the organizations all want to be squeaky clean and do the right thing by the letter of the law every time something happens with their team. They're going to do whatever they need to do to protect their players and the people within their organization. This goes from, you remember back a couple years ago, was it the president of the San Francisco Giants? And he got caught publicly, like, was it verbally abusing his wife? And they tried to cover it up until the video surfaced. And you talk about all the different things that I've experienced in my career where if your player gets pulled over late at night or there's an incident at a club or one of your employees gets either a DUI or does something, best believe that they're not thinking about what we need to do right now is go right to HPD and report everything and just follow whatever they want to do. Their people are working behind the scenes as hard as they possibly can to make it all go away.
8437, if the Texans organization knew about it, big if, Harden's claiming that, or Busby's claiming that they did, big if the Texans organization knew about it and enabled it, then penalize them to the fullest extent. Doesn't matter if I'm a fan or not. If it comes out that they were indeed part of this and enabled Watson, they deserve to be penalized equally for it.
Okay.
It's only fair.
Jeremy, how much do you think in terms of when they say penalized? Because we're talking about
big fines to McNair.
Yeah, we're talking a civil suit, right? The league can do whatever they're going to do. It's not going to be legally anything that they're going to do. And the other thing is, how much time and energy are they going to spend trying to dig deep into how much did they really know and when did they know it, when all they're really after is to basically get what they want in the first place, which is a financial settlement.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to the finances.
Yeah.
That's where
if this was the court of law, believe me, there'd be a lot of digging and a lot of research, and they would be looking to offshoot the lawsuit to penalize everybody involved. Because it's a civil suit, it's not going to have the same kind of venom and motivation to go after them.
I think you could play it behind closed doors, right? Because I'm very interested in the Texans' next move.
Oh, Busby's side, in order to get the finances out of it, is going to know you guys don't know how much we actually
know. And he has to sensationalize it. That's kind of his job. But I'm fascinated what the Texans might do as their next move. Like, what do the Texans do in response to this? Josh and Beaumont, any chance that PR lady, Amy Pulisic, being fired plays a part into this? Maybe. I think anything's on the table now that the Texans could potentially have known about Deshaun's sexual misconduct since March 2020. Everything is on the table.
I think you know this, though. Amy was basically a Bill O'Brien gal, and she was JJ's personal PR person, so much so she did all of JJ's PR for his big softball game at Minute Maid and all the other things. And so, just like almost everybody else other than Jack Easterby, all people associated with Bill O'Brien were basically pushed out or wanted out the minute Bill O'Brien left, and she was one of the people that was involved and labeled as a Bill O'Brien person.
713-780-ESPN. We told you we're going to talk plenty about the Houston Astros today. We're going to start that when we return. How about that no-hitter shutting up the Yankee fans? Let's discuss when we return. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I can't speak highly enough of the people at Apollo because of the fact that they care about their patients. Look, I went there not knowing what to expect. I knew that I wasn't in the shape that I once was. I didn't know at my age if there was ever anything that could be done about it. But having sit-downs and talking to the people involved, the experts that are there, and figuring out the different ways that I could kind of get my youthful energy back, I was very interested. And they played a big role in me getting back to working out on a consistent basis and taking better care of myself and doing the things that I needed to do to kind of get a better quality of life on a daily basis. The results were there. I lost 14 pounds. My body fat went down 9%. And the fact is I've been able to maintain those levels and continue to go forward on a positive basis because of the people at Apollo Men's Health. Check out all the different ways they can help you, too. Go to apollomh.com. Check out that website and see all the different services that they offer. And from working out more and getting on a workout program to stuff for your smoothies to all the different ways that they have and can administer or teach you how to administer hormone therapy, they can do that, too. Want to get a B12 shot every week and try that first to see if that gives you energy like I do? It's definitely something you can try. Check them out today. And while you're there, book your first appointment. When you book it, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. But make the appointment. Go in with an open mind. Answer their questions honestly. Tell them what you're trying to achieve. They're going to put you on a program that works, and they're going to get you results. They're good people doing great things. Check out the people at Apollo Men's Health.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ground ball towards third. Two hops for Bregman. And the Astros have done it again in Yankee Stadium. A combined no-hitter.
I could not help but laugh when the Astros no-hit the best offense in the American League in the house that Alex Rodriguez built. Christian Javier, a bulk of it for the Houston Astros. Then got some help from the bullpen as well. Neris and Presley each got a no-hit inning as well. I'll be honest with you, I lost for a slight moment. And I knew that Javier was working on the no-no. I knew that he had a no-no going. But the fact that Neris walked two in that eighth inning and the Yankees had the tying run in the box, I, for a split second, for an at-bat, I forgot that the Astros had a no-hitter going.
Oh, I didn't. At least I was wondering why I was so like focused on every batter and until I kind of filled her in. But is there ever been in any sport, and I don't know how you feel about this, and it depends on who your favorite teams are too, the only team that I get a sick feeling in my stomach with every single time it gets late in a ball game that I feel like at any moment they can come back and win, and I've seen too many improbable comeback wins, is the Yankees. I just felt like, and that's why those two losses hurt so much, because that's like for my whole life, and I grew up in the American League East when the Brewers were involved in it with the Red Sox and the Yankees, and I think the Tigers, and it was always where they consistently would steal victories out of the jaws of defeat and basically kick you in the grapes right when you thought you had a big win under your belt. And to see the fact that every time they put runners on base starting in the seventh inning, I was like, here we go again. I just, and then after what happened in the first game of the series, I was like, man, it's something I'm going to have to deal with my whole, it's never going to go away.
Yeah. I mean, that's baseball, right? To an extent. Now, even the very best bullpens are going to have days that, you know, worry you and that you blow saves. And we'll talk about the need, if there is a need, about acquiring a reliever to this bullpen, if that's necessary, a little bit later on in the program. But watching Javier go into Yankee Stadium, throw a no-hitter, seven innings of the no-hitter, the fact that he has been very good for literally his entire career. We first saw him in 2020. Like, he's a sub-3.5 pitcher his entire career. He is very good. And my impression of watching Christian Javier go, like, he's in hostile territory. Like, we talk about the mental aspect of pitching all the time. And, like, you can see when a player is a little rattled or when he's feeling the moment a little bit too much. You don't get any feel for that of Christian
Javier.
There
is no more hostile, violent, just negative environment for a road team to go into than Yankee Stadium.
Right. And Javier not only did that, but he threw seven no-hit innings and struck out a career-high 13 Yankees, who was the best offense in the entire American League. And watching Javier do that and watching Javier over the course of his career and watching Christian Javier in 2022, and we know that the Houston Astros have a surplus of starting pitching. Jake Overeasy is going to come back soon. That's going to give the Astros six starters. We're also hoping that we'll see Lance McCullers, and if that happens, you're looking at seven starters for the Houston Astros. So you know that there's a surplus. There's kind of a numbers crunch when you start to predict what the playoff rotation's going to be. And Javier is always the one that gets bumped to the bullpen because he's done it before, because he's capable of doing it. Whenever you get to the playoffs, well, he's going to be your bridge in the fifth and sixth inning that gets you to the back end of the bullpen. But watching Christian Javier pitch time after time, and then, sure, some recency bias with the fact that he went seven no-hit innings as part of a complete no-hitter, a three-man no-hitter for the Houston Astros. Christian Javier not only belongs in the Houston Astros starting rotation, but Christian Javier belongs in the playoff rotation.
Oh, absolutely, no doubt.
He is one of your best four starting pitchers. I don't care who's
back.
Well,
remember last week we were talking about it? Quit screwing around with him, right? Because the last thing you can do to maximize whichever role you wanted him to play is to keep bouncing him back and forth. Oh, when we're getting rid of the six-man rotation, well, he can bounce back to the bullpen. Oh, well, we need a guy now, and Odorizzi goes down. Let's move him back to a starter. Your arm, you fluctuate with what you do to your arm and what it needs to do to completely fulfill the role you're asking him to fill for you. And basically what he showed you is exactly what all the national commentators have talked about for the last month or so. He's got devastating stuff. If he can just be allowed to do that, whichever role you want him to play, he just spelled it out for you. This guy is in. That's it. He's in. Urquidy finally found his groove. and he looks better. But does he look better than Javier? I would say no. And I would say that when you look at it, whatever happens with McCullers, he went from 27 curveballs in a playoff run to one curveball throwing against two hitters coming back for your Astros. But at least he's on the mound and he's throwing again. Again, I personally am not going to count on him. But if I know my rotation going into the playoffs could be Verlander and Fromber, and now you've got Urquidy and you've got Garcia, you're just fine.
And it's even to the point, though, where I'm like advocating for Christian Javier to be one of those guys. Like, he needs to stop being bounced to the bullpen.
Absolutely,
because he's
right.
Capable of doing it. And look, I know you have some tough questions to ask with this pitching rotation. When Overeasy is back, when or if Lance McCullers is back. Like, I get that. I understand that there's a surplus and there's some difficult decisions to make. But Christian Javier might be your second best pitcher. Like, we don't want to dive into the numbers a whole lot. But Christian Javier, he's got a better ERA than Framber Valdez. How many people would believe that? Like, this dude is very good. He's never not been good. Like, look at his career numbers. He's always been a really good starting pitcher to where, like, look, I'm not saying that he should be Justin Verlander, where Justin Verlander's telling you when Justin Verlander's going to pitch and which day Justin Verlander's going to pitch and that he's going to be every fifth day and he's going to come back for the seventh, all of that stuff. But you got to start looking at Christian Javier as one of your best pitchers and making him a priority in this starting rotation. Stop the whole move him to the bullpen. He could potentially be your second best pitcher. If he's not your second best pitcher, he's potentially your third best pitcher. And if you want to put Lance McCullers ahead of Javier too when he comes back, that might be a little bit too early to start doing that. He's definitely your fourth best starting pitcher. So it's time to prioritize Christian Javier as part of this rotation now and long term.
If you hurt Jake Odorizzi's feelings, so be it.
Yes.
Right? You know, I don't care at this point. Look, they resurrected his career because he luckily resurrected his career, and an injury has helped him out even more. But that doesn't mean that anything is anointed to him when he comes back. It's the Wally Pipp syndrome. But in the meantime, while you're out, if a guy comes in and performs better and is younger than what you did before you even got hurt, you look at it and you say, you know what? Just like you just said, like we were talking about last week when I said you can't keep bouncing this guy back and forth from the two different roles. He's now earned and proven to you and to everybody else, he belongs in the starting rotation to be the best version of the Astros you can be. And it's one thing to say, I got to get through 162 games, right? That's why we went to a six-man rotation. That's why they do the things they do to get through the dog days of summer. But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty and the games mean something in the playoffs, you go with your four best pitchers. He's one of your four best pitchers, and it's time to stop screwing around with him. And if Odorizzi's up for trying to be a long reliever, great. If he's not, who cares?
I'm over the excuse of, well, he's the only guy capable of doing it. Well, you're limiting what your team can be because he's the only guy capable of doing it. If I'm getting Christian Javier once every fifth or sixth day, even if you want to do a six-man rotation, and then once every fourth day once you get to the playoffs, give me that guy starting as opposed to a random one, two, three innings once a week. You're not maximizing Christian Javier, and by not maximizing Christian Javier, you're not getting the most out of your team. Now, it does lead to the Odorizzi question. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. People are tweeting at us. D. Green, Brother Bear. Who goes to the bullpen when Odorizzi? We'll talk about McCullers later. Yeah. I want to talk about Odorizzi first because we heard that Odorizzi is going to get a two-game rehab.
He had one already.
Assignment. He had one on
Friday night.
So another one's probably coming up middle of this week, and then you expect him back. Brother Bear, will Dusty or Click convince Odorizzi to go to the bullpen? It doesn't seem like they're going to tick off Jake Odorizzi to where he's going to be a bullpen pitcher, but I'm not prioritizing Jake Odorizzi over Javier, certainly not Fromber, certainly not Verlander. I'm not prioritizing Odorizzi over this new Jose Urquidy that we've seen after he ditched the cutter, and I'm not prioritizing him over Luis Garcia. So unless you're doing some stacking in a six-man rotation, Jake Odorizzi's got to get over his ego.
Unless he's got naked pictures of somebody, yeah, there's nothing that's going to force anybody to put him back in the rotation. And E on Twitch said he resurrected his career because
sure
he had a couple good. He damn right he did, because he was getting ready to be DFA'd, except you were on the hook for this year, and it was his option for next year. But he had pitched his way into being useless for this team the way he was pitching until his final couple of starts before he got hurt. So, yeah, yes, he absolutely did resurrect his career. And in the process, it was a good problem to have if you're an Astros fan or management or the players themselves, because they had an extra pitcher that could actually be serviceable. Now that he's coming back, though, There's also the tough reality of, hey, you did what you had to do to stay on this team, but now you got to find a role to be able to pitch on this team. And right now it doesn't look like that's going to be in the starting rotation.
If Overeasy is part of this team after the August 2nd trade deadline, he needs to be a long reliever in case you, unless you have a tough, unless you've had a rash of injuries, which you keep your fingers crossed with that. If you have the mindset of, well, I'm going to give Odorizzi 3 or 4 big league starts in July with the idea of, I know that I need to trade him, that's the only way that I would accept him being back in the starting rotation. But anything post August 2nd, that guy's a reliever for me because your young arms are too good. 713-780
Yeah, I mean, if there's two
ESPN
guys that are out right now, and we've talked about this before, it's definitely, it would be Odorizzi and probably Urquidy, because the other guys have proven more consistently to do what you need them to do as starters, no matter how many guys are in your rotation.
What will your playoff rotation be right now if the playoffs started tomorrow? 713-780-ESPN, and what would you do with Jake Overeasy once he does return to this big, the big team? 713-780-3776. We'll discuss that next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
97.5.